The first lesson appointed for this third Sunday of Easter from Acts chapter 3. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." This is the word of our God. For our members and our regular guests, maybe you saw the sermon theme for this morning and thought, well, that sounds a little familiar. It's all about Jesus. And you thought back to exactly a month ago. And I preached a sermon that was entitled, "It's All About You." Remember that one? It's been a whole month, and we've had a lot of services in this last month, haven't we? It's okay if you don't remember. I actually had to go back and look at the date, because I couldn't remember exactly what the date was. It was back on March 17th, right before Palm Sunday, the Sunday before. And there in that service, we saw that it's all about you, meaning that everything God does is for us. It's all about us, everything God does. And then you come in here today and see it's all about Jesus. So which is it, Pastor? The answer is yes. It is all about you. We've gotten to see that over the last month, haven't we? As we've followed Jesus, as we've seen his passion, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. We've seen everything that he went through for us. We see that in Jesus, he's all about us. Forgiving our sins, suffering our punishment, giving us the gift of eternal life, giving us new life, new purpose, new joy, new hope. God is all about us. But, dear friends, what that means then is that our lives become all about Jesus. So it's a yes. It's all about you from God's perspective, and from ours, it's all about Jesus. During the season of Easter, our first lessons in the church are not from the Old Testament like they are the rest of the church here. Maybe you caught that attention last week when Pastor Schrader, he preached on the first lesson from the book of Acts as well. And here we have the lesson from the book of Acts as well here today. All throughout the season of Easter, these first lessons are not going to be from the Old Testament, but from the New Testament, from the book of Acts. We follow a lectionary. We have a series of 3 years of readings, and every year, all three of those years, the season of Easter, those first lessons are from the book of Acts. And there's good reason for that. It's not that the Old Testament is not important. No, it's extremely important. But in the season of Easter, we take a look into the book of Acts because we get to see what Easter meant for that early church. For those people who got to see Jesus alive after he had been crucified. The difference that made for them. Because they knew it wasn't just eternity changing, but it was life-changing as well. Everything in that early church was all about Jesus, crucified and risen. And that's why we look at these lessons from the book of Acts, because we get to see how that early church was on fire for that message of the gospel, that good news that a Savior had died but had rose again for their sins, but for the sins of the entire world. Here, we're in Acts 3. That's where our lesson comes from that we're taking a look at this morning. And just a little bit of context here. Obviously, it's very near the beginning of the book of Acts. And just the chapter before this, I'm not going to poach too much into this, you got to wait a few weeks, is the festival of Pentecost. We heard it at the end of our gospel lesson from Luke, where Jesus said, "Stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." And he was talking about that promised Holy Spirit that would come on that day of Pentecost and open up their minds and help them put all the dots together between Old Testament and New Testament and what Jesus had come to do and what he had accomplished and what that meant. And from that day of Pentecost, those disciples go out and preach that message of the gospel boldly and confidently for the salvation of every soul. This is right after that. It happened just in the previous chapter. They've been clothed with that power from on high. And the immediate context right before this, right, we hear in verse 11 about this man who is holding on to Peter and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples. And the reason this man is holding on to them is because they've just been able to heal him. He is a man who was lame from birth, a man who was never able to walk in his entire life. And he asked Peter and John for some money, because that's the way he had to make it. He couldn't work, so he had to beg. And Peter told him, "I don't have silver or gold to give you. I've got something better. Get up and walk." And the man got up and walked, and he danced, and he shouted, and he praised God, and a crowd obviously drew. And this wasn't an opportunity for Peter and John to show how great they were and at what miraculous powers they had. They said that this is not about us. It's not by our power or by our godliness that this man has been healed. They take this opportunity to proclaim Jesus. And they're not afraid to hold back. It says, "You killed the author of life. He came to save you, you, his people, the Jews, and you rejected him. You disowned him before Pilate. You rejected him as that Messiah. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And you too can have what he has to offer. It is not too late." He says, "Repent so that times of refreshing may come, and that you may know that salvation he came to give to you too." Peter and John take this opportunity to proclaim Jesus, because that's what their lives and their ministry and the church was all about. It was about Jesus. And we're going to see that as we go through the book of Acts in these Sundays of Easter. We're going to see how the church was just on fire for that gospel. How everything that they did, everything that they said, everywhere they went, it was all about Jesus and making him known. And it's no different today, is it? The church is still all about Jesus, aren't we? We're all about Jesus. That is why we are here. When we know this eternity and life-changing message, it becomes everything. And nothing else matters. That everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go is about Jesus. What we do here in this building as a church, it's all about Jesus. Where is our worship focused? Where is every one of our worship services focused? It is on the gospel, in word and sacrament. It is on the finished work of Jesus for us and for all people. And then just practically speaking, what we do here as a church, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Our service, how we serve one another, it's not about us. It's not about bringing glory to ourselves. It's about Jesus. This is what our life as the church is about. Showing that love to one another. Serving each other in humility and love as we have first been served and loved by Him. It's all about Jesus, what we do here. Even when you read in your reminder emails, members, that, hey, why don't you sit a little closer to the front? Let our guests, you know, who come in maybe a little later, have a seat in the back. Or greet other people you don't know after the service. What's that all about? It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. And being able to share that message of the gospel with more and more people. And make them feel that love of Jesus when they walk into this building. Everything we do in our ministry is all about Jesus, isn't it? It's not about gaining more members. It's not having a bigger budget. Just think about some of our ministry plans here at Heritage. We opened up a counseling center about a year ago. And what's its purpose? To be able to share the gospel of Jesus with more people in different ways. We are waiting to hear from our Board for Home Missions about assistance for opening up our, helping with our mission out in Santan Valley. What is that all about? Proclaiming Jesus to more and more people. The outreach that we do to our community, the LDS of our community and others, what is that about? It's not about necessarily getting more people here. It's about proclaiming that message of the forgiveness of sins through that righteous one, Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. And even as we talk about building and remodeling and expansion here, that's still not about us. It's about Jesus. And that message of the gospel that we have been given to proclaim to the world. And God forbid if what we do here as a church ever becomes about us. If our attitude becomes that church is there to serve me, and I walk in and I walk out and I get served, and that's just how I look at my church. God forbid. If we begin to see that that is just about me. Because unfortunately, we've seen, you can look around not real far and see many Christian churches that have just made it not about Jesus, but about changing the teaching so society won't give them a hard time. About just making people feel good about themselves, teaching how to just have a better life, really just becoming just a how-to on being a better person, better father, better wife. Just really about me. Forgetting that the church is all about Jesus. It's all about the gospel. May God continue to keep us stand firm and steadfast on that rock of Jesus Christ. And like that early church, boldly proclaim it in love for the salvation of many more souls. May everything we do here, everything we say, everywhere we go, be about Jesus. As the church, we gather together here and we carry out our ministry and our mission, and we make it all about Jesus. But you're not just the church when you're here. You know that, right? You're not just the church when you're gathered together with your fellow Christians. You are the church as you go into every other area of your life too. And when you know that life-changing and eternity-changing message, then everything changes in every other part of your life too, doesn't it? everything. How you look at every other area of your life is different because Jesus is alive. It's all about Jesus. Your marriage becomes all about Jesus. Not about you and how your spouse is there to take care of you and all of your needs, but it's about building our marriage on that foundation of Jesus Christ and his love and his forgiveness for us that we get to show to one another. Your view of your marriage changes when it becomes all about Jesus. Your parenting, it changes, doesn't it? Because your job as a parent is not just to provide your child with clothing and food and shelter and take them to school and give them medicine when they're sick, give them all the opportunities of this life and set them up for success and get them involved in all of these different things. No. That resurrection means that first and foremost, as a parent, it's all about Jesus. That they would know him. That they would be able to listen to him. That they would be able to sit at his feet and learn from him and know that that is where their source of identity and love and purpose comes from. As they're trying to figure out their way in this world. It's all about Jesus in our parenting. How about in your job? Maybe a job that you really don't like very much. A job that you go to just because it helps pay the bills, sort of. Yes, even then, it can be all about Jesus. And no matter how mundane or how much you really don't care about your job and what you do or think it makes any difference, when it becomes all about Jesus, we see that our lives are not about serving human beings. We're serving God, first and foremost. And as we serve God, we get to serve our neighbor. We get to see that our talents and our abilities have been given to us to glorify Jesus, to make him known through our honesty, through our hard work. It's all about Jesus. You think about our time and how we use our time. When we know that eternity-changing and life-changing message, how we view our time is different, isn't it? When we know about that resurrection, when we see that tomb empty, we say that now my time in this life, every moment I've been given, is not for me, it's for him. The one who's given me eternity, the one who's forgiven every one of my sins, that this life I have and every moment of it is about Jesus. My money, that's all been gifted to me by God. That too becomes about him. How can I use what he's given me to make him known, to show my love for him? Dear Christian, do you see how every area of our life changes because of that resurrection? Because of what we have already right now, a place in heaven, eternal life waiting. The promise that every sin is forgiven. Peace with an almighty God, a holy God. Joy as we get to live in that freedom from our sins and from guilt and from shame and from regrets. Why? Because it's all about this one, Jesus. How can it not be? Is that easy in your life? Absolutely not. Because you've got the sinful world, this evil world around us telling you to make it all about you. You've got your own sinful flesh residing right within you that's telling you that just live for yourself, worry about yourself first. And in those moments, in those times, we hear the words of Peter echo down through the ages to that first crowd that day that he healed that beggar, that echo down to us that say, repent, so that times of refreshing may come, so that you again might know the peace and the joy that you have. Focus your sights back on that cross that's stained with blood, innocent blood for you. Set your sights back on that tomb that's empty for you. And see, that's what it's all about. Everything we do as a church, as people, as we go into our lives, as God's people, it's all about Jesus. Because God's all about you. We've gotten to see that over the last few weeks. Everything Jesus came to do was about us. And now with that risen Jesus living in our hearts, ruling this world, sending his promised Holy Spirit to clothe us with power from on high through his word and sacrament, our lives become something new, something different, something much more meaningful and joyful. It's all about Jesus. God grant you that. Amen. And now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole soul and spirit and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you. He is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. At this time, we have